Okay.
Yeah, my fifth cycle.
Can I know?
Okay. We say in the Haggadah, there are three items that we describe. Pesach, Matzah, and Mar. Each one we say, Al Shem Ma, what's it coming for? And the Matzah was Al Shem She Lo Yispik B'tzeikim She Lo Yisein Al HaChmitz As She Nigdin Aleim Melech Malchim Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ga'olam Shemhem Rabbi Yivu Is Abasik Asher Yitzim Yitzim Ugo Yitzmatz Is Ki Lechamitz Ki Garashim Yitzim V'lo Yichlu Yitzmameya. So the Haggadah describes the role of the Matzah, the purpose, the symbolism of the Matzah, is that it reminds us or represents that the dough didn't have a chance to rise because we went out so quickly. So seemingly it's reminding us of the quickness, what the Torah calls the chipazain, that aspect of the geula, the chipazain aspect of, I mean, so it's a simon for the geula, but specifically the chipazain aspect of the geula, because it represents that some of the things happened in such a hurry that it ended up being matzah. That's the mashmos of what we're saying. Like hispik b'tzeikam l'hachmas, it just wasn't time for the dough to rise.
That's what we've been taught since kindergarten, right?
Okay, and that's what the psukim say. The right. Psukim, it says, like this pasuk that the Haggadah quotes, v'yofuos habatzik hitzim v'tzrayim ugeis matzais, they baked the dough into matzah ki loy chameitz. It wasn't chametz because they were driven out so fast. They didn't have time for, they weren't able to delay. Which means it sounds like it's telling a story of accidental matzah. That the matzah came out accidentally. Nobody was intending to make matzah. They were intending to bake challah, bagels. But then there was such a big hurry and they had to leave in a hurry. And somehow because of that, because they had to leave in such a hurry, it ended up being matzah. So there was this accidental occurrence that happened during the story, and we commemorate that by eating matzah. The problem is, it's very hard to understand how there could have been an accidental occurrence of matzah. They had a mitzvah of matzah. On Rosh Chodesh, Moshe Rabbeinu told them that on the 15th, they're supposed to have a Karban Pesach, and on matzah is Rami Yechluhu. And then he even went on to say that Shivas Yamim so they must have taken Kol Machmetzes Lo Yisei Chelu Ki Kol Eichel Machmetzes V'Nichrasa. All that is written in that nevuah on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Bnei Yisrael, and he told them the Mitzvah Matzah, and he told them about the Isser Chametz. So they surely were planning on making chametz. What were they doing making? They were surely planning on making matzah. What were they doing making chametz? So the kasha is really twofold. This kasha that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan they're already given a mitzvah of matzah is really a double kasha. The simplest kasha is that how could we, if the whole mitzvah of matzah is to commemorate what happened on the 15th, so why were they being commanded this mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh? What was its meaning then? Why was Hashem telling them to eat matzah? Today we say, oh, we should eat matzah because of what happened then. But before that happened, why were they being commanded to eat matzah? That's one kasha. And the other sort of aspect of the same kasha is, what was the story altogether? Why was there a story of accidental matzah? A story where they were intending to make chametz, but because they were in such a hurry, it ended up being matzah. Intending to make chametz, they should have been intending all along to make matzah because they had a mitzvah to make matzah.
Also, I mean, the day before,
yeah.
At midnight, I'm going to come, Chatzai Sem, right? I'm going to come. So they had enough time to spend more than 18 minutes to bake the bread, to prepare sandwiches, right? I mean, they
you mean for their Seidel Derech?
Just practical, from practical matter.
They would have started earlier, right? Okay, but they, I guess they didn't know how suddenly they'd be leaving. They knew that tonight is going to be Makas Bechayris, that they knew. But then, Matechas like Mitzrayim ha'la'am, l'maher l'shalchom min ha'aretz, I don't know if that was anticipated. So they ended up having to leave much more quickly than they had thought. So there's, again, the basic kasha is that the mitzvah is really given on Rosh Chodesh, was given before this story. But that kasha sort of divides into two. One is, what was its meaning when it was given on Rosh Chodesh, if it's to commemorate an event that didn't happen yet? And the second is that event doesn't really make sense when we consider that the mitzvah was already given. Because the event was that they were trying to make chametz, but it ended up being matzah. Why were they trying to make chametz if they were already given the mitzvah of matzah? So to the kasha, if we divide them, you know, one, take them one at a time, maybe we'll see, you know, later on that they might be more connected.
Maybe it was a different matzah.
Maybe it was a different matzah.
Yeah, what the one on Rishkaydesh was probably much thicker or whatever.
Oh.
And they didn't have enough time to make it that thick. So it turned out to be much
thicker. No, but I hear, okay, but it's before in the psukim that when I'm calling the story of the accidental matzah, the pasuk says explicitly that it was as opposed to chametz. Ki loy chametz ki gershu mimitzrayim, meaning they were, sounds like they were trying to make chametz. So to the kasha of why was Hashem commanding it before the story, if the whole meaning of the matzah is to commemorate that story, why was Hashem commanding it before that story ever happened? So that kasha, it's a good kasha, but there's always an escape from these kinds of kashas. Why did Hashem command this beforehand? Well, you know, Hashem knows the future. Maybe really it's all to commemorate what happened later. But for Hashem, who's above time, so he knew what was going to happen before it happened, so he gave us a mitzvah that maybe didn't have any obvious meaning at that time. At that time, maybe it was just bizarre to the Jewish people. They had no idea why there was this mitzvah, matzah and chametz. But Hashem's reason was to commemorate that event, which didn't happen yet, because Hashem knew the future. That's what the Shibboleth HaLechet brings down, that the Rid, it's one of the great Rishonim, he asks this question and gives this answer. He says, what was the meaning of the matzah before the story happened? It must be that Hashem was a day ha'asid. He knew the future, and he commanded al shem ha'asid. But the bigger kasha is, but how, this story that we say we're commemorating, how did it even happen? The story that it ended up being matzah because they were in a hurry, what do you mean ended up being matzah? Didn't they know they had to make matzah? Moshe Rabbeinu told them to make matzah. Now, this kasha, just to, again, to get a little bit more into the nitty-gritty, let's be precise, this kasha also, we should clarify, I'm not asking because of the mitzvah of matzah. There's two mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of chametz. Right? The mitzvah saseh of matzah and the iser of chametz. Mm-hmm. The mitzvah loisa saseh of chametz. Now, the mitzvah of matzah was already over. The mitzvah of matzah was at the Seder with the Karban Pesach. And that was at the beginning, you know, they shechted the Karban Pesach on the afternoon of Yudalad, and then in the night of Yudalad, they were eating the Karban Pesach. And there's a machlag tzanayim, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it's only until Chatzayitz. According to Rabbi Akiva, it could go later, but you certainly assume that they were starting their Seder, at least, and eating the Karban Pesach with the matzah before Chatzayitz. And this story is all happening after Chatzayitz. Vahiba chatzayalai l'Hashem, he could call Bachar, and then v'techez ha'kabzayim al-ha'om l'mayher l'shalcham min ha'aretz, and then v'yisa v'tzeikam v'yisa v'tzeikam v'sharesam s'rureis p'sim loisam al-shichmam, because they were driven out very fast. All that happened after Chatzayitz. So that was not the matzah that they were using for their mitzvah, for their seder. So that the Seder was finished already. This was snacks for the road. They knew they were going on a trip. I mean, they didn't realize they were going quite so soon. They thought they had time still to bake food for the trip. And then they had to leave in a big hurry, so that food ended up being matzah instead of chametz. So so we're talking about after chatzayis. Mm-hmm. So our kasha is not, when I ask why were they making chametz, didn't they know about the mitzvah of matzah? I don't mean the mitzvah of matzah, really. I mean the mitzvah of chametz. The mitzvah of not eating chametz. They already knew about the issur of chametz. So that's where our kasha is chal. What were they doing making chametz if they were already commanded that you're not supposed to have any chametz today? So to this kasha, and again, it'll affect the others also, to this kasha, we have essentially two different pshatim in the Rishonim. Two, and it's really very, a very fundamental question because it affects how we understand the psukim in the Torah, how we understand what we mean in Magid when we say matzah al shumma. The Ramban, so one is the Ramban and one is the Ran. The Ramban says that we're reading the psukim wrong. I'm sure he would agree that the way we're reading the psukim is the simple reading of the psukim, but he says that since it doesn't work with the simple reading, you have to be matrik in the psukim. When the pasuk says, "Vayeifus habatzek asher itzim mitzrayim ugois matzais ki loy chametz ki gerushim mitzrayim v'leichlo l'smameh," it says they baked it matzah, not chametz, because they were driven out so fast. The words because kigarashu v'laychulu mesmameya, the words that say they were driven out so fast is not the reason why they made it Matis Perkut Beis Pasuk Lamed Tes. It's not saying the reason why they made it matzah as opposed to chametz that they were doing anyway. They were making it matzah because that was their mitzvah. The pasuk is only coming to explain why they did it on the road, as opposed to at home. They started the night in Goshen. They had an oven in Goshen. So all the women were rolling their dough, and then they were going to bring it to the oven in Goshen, the local oven in Goshen, and they were going to bake it there. But they didn't end up doing that. They ended up either baking it on at some oven on the road that was 50 miles away, or he said, or maybe they even reached Sukkot that very night, and they baked it in the oven in Sukkot. And when the pasuk says, thank you, when the pasuk says, this is Lamed Tes, that they baked the dough asher itziu b'mitzrayim ugas matzahs ki lechametz ki gershu b'mitzrayim l'echolos mameya. It means that the kigershu b'mitzrayim is not the reason why it was ugas matzahs ki lechametz, but it's the reason why itziu b'mitzrayim, why they baked it on the road, why they baked it in Sukkos, as opposed to baking it in Goshen, I should say, really, in Ramses, that's Ra'isu b'nezom, may Ramses Sukkosa. Right, why were they baking it in Sukkos rather than in Ramses? To that it says, ki gershu b'mitzrayim l'echol esmameya. So it's very surprising, Shana the Pasuk. It turns out that the story of the accidental matzah that you said we learned since kindergarten, there were matzahs, there was no accidental matzah, there was no such story. They were planning on making matzah all along. That was the recipe. They were making matzah. Just, they were going to make it at home, and they ended up making it on the road or at their destination in Sukkos. And that's because they left in a big hurry. So, okay, if he says that, so that answers the kash that we started with. You know, I asked, why were they planning on making chametz? So I'm about to say they weren't planning on making chametz. But I think it creates a bigger kash, which is just as troublesome as the first, and that is, so why is this a big deal? This is the central symbol of our whole Pesach. This is the matzah. The matzah is al-shum ma, al-shum shleih hispik v'tekim lachem v'tashenik l'alem lachem 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 shbarach, which means that they were in a big, big hurry when they came to bake their bread. And then it brings this pasuk that we just read. According to the Rambam, what it means, the fact that they were in a big hurry really had nothing to do with the fact that they were making matzah. They were making matzah regardless. The fact that they were in a big hurry is just why they made the matzah in Sukkot rather than in Ramses. Why is that important? What's the big deal about that? Goshen, right, I started saying Goshen, and I fixed it to Ramses because it says, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael me Ramses Sukkosa. So, yeah, I guess, I don't know, maybe Goshen was a region in Ramses.
Why didn't they make the matzah on Rosh Chodesh when they were told about the mitzvah?
Maybe they made some matzah then for the Seder. But why would you make bread 2 weeks in advance?
They make it a half year in advance.
Yeah, but you'd rather they didn't, right? So,
rather better to have fresh.
So the Ramban makes this new problem for us that we have to understand now what's so special about the matzah. If it really, it's not that we had matzah because of the chipazain, we just had the matzah here and not there because of the chipazain. Okay, so, but let's put that on hold. But this is one mahalach. This is the very revolutionary one, this that really changes the story. The Ran learns differently than the Ramban. The Ran learns that they were really making chametz, which is how we grew up understanding that they were planning on making chametz, and it was only because they left in such a big hurry they didn't have time to make the chametz, so they ended up making matzah. So the matzah really represents the chipazin, that's why we eat matzah, it's to remind us that we left in such a big hurry. But to the kasha of why were they making chametz, didn't Moshe Rabbeinu tell them you can't make chametz? So the Ran says that their Pesach was very different than our Pesach. There's a Mishnah on Daf Tzadivav that says Ma bein Pesach Mitzrayim lePesach Adayres, and it says a whole bunch of things that Pesach Mitzrayim is different than Pesach Adayres. It says some of the obvious ones have to do with the Karma Pesach, that the Pesach Mitzrayim had a mitzvah of Mekach Ba'asar. He's supposed to take it on the 10th of the month. And it had a mitzvah of Tfilas Ezoiv. You're supposed to dip the grass into the blood and put it on the mezuzos, on the mashke for shtei mezuzos. All that we don't have nowadays. I once had a request at home for that when my oldest child was 4 or 5 years old and started going to school. So she learned about this and she came home and she asked my wife, are you going to be putting the blood on the doorpost? My wife said, no. And she said, but you know, that that's supposed to protect the firstborn, right? Otherwise, the firstborn will be killed, as my oldest. My wife said, no, that was only in Mitzrayim, but nowadays we don't have that. She said, but maybe you could put the blood there just in case. Just in case. But the Mishnah said that, no, that was only for Pesach Mitzrayim and not for Pesach Dayreis. And then the Mishnah adds, and Pesach Mitzrayim only had Chimutzo Yoim Echad, and Pesach Dayreis Shivas Yomim. The other differences were all about the Karban Pesach itself. But then the Mishnah adds this last difference about the Isser Chametz. The Isser Chametz, we have a 7-day Isser Chametz. In Mitzrayim, they only had a 1-day Isser Chametz. Hmm. Now, just that, now that's what it says in the Mishnah. That doesn't help the Ran so much. Again, the Ran is trying to explain to us that they were actually planning on making Chametz. And he says, because after all, this was not Pesach Deris, this was Pesach Mitzrayim. Pesach Mitzrayim only Chimutzo Yemechad. He didn't really answer the kasha yet because that was the Yom Echad. They were still on Tezvah. Right. The Ran says, and in Pesach Mitzrayim, there was no Bal Yirah or Bal Yematzeh. So that what he accomplishes then is that you could say that they were baking it on Tezvah for Tezayin. Mm-hmm. They knew they were going on a long trip. They're going to be on the road for a few days. I don't know how long they thought they were going to be on the road. I'm sure they weren't planning 40 years, but 3 days at least, for sure, they thought that they would be on the road. So they had to prepare snacks. So maybe they figured, okay, for the first day, look, they just had a big meal. They had the Seder, they had the Karban Pesach. So they can make it till tomorrow night with just chocolate. But for Tez Zion already, they're going to need bread. So they were baking bread for Tez Zion.
Maybe for the second Seder.
What? Maybe for the second Seder. Yeah, no, that wouldn't work. Then you have you back to the matzah. But the Ran says that because this was Pesach Mitzrayim and not Pesach Deiros, and it was only Chimutzo Yom Echad, that there was no Isser Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, so they were baking on Tesvav for Tesayin, right? We, of course, could never do such a thing, right? We have an Isser 7 days. On that 7th day, could we start baking bagels or pizza to have at night, you know, so that after Pesach we could break our fast, so to speak, on fresh pizza? No, of course not. You can't start doing that on Pesach, even though you're not eating it, so you wouldn't be violating the Isser Achila, but you're violating the Isser Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. You can't make chametz because then you have chametz in your possession. Zok the Rambam, they didn't have that problem. Hmm. In the Pesach Mitzrayim, there was no Isser Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, and so they were actually baking on Tezvav for the sake of Tezayin, and so they were doing nothing wrong. And in that baking, they had this big hurry. The Mitzrayim chased them out very fast, and then there wasn't time for the dough to rise. It ended up being matzah. That's the accidental matzah that we started with at the beginning that we're really commemorating with our mitzvah matzah. Right, which means that there were two matzahs, right? They were on that little Pesach, there were two matzahs. There was the matzah in the first half of the night, which was the intentional matzah. That's what they have at the Karban Pesach, that they baked in advance. I don't know if they baked it far in advance or that day, but they baked it in advance. They had fresh matzah, intentional matzah, with their Karban Pesach. But then they thought, okay, we're done with the mitzvah matzah. We still have an Isser Chametz for another 12 hours or 18 hours, but we can start baking bread now for the next day. And that bread ended up becoming matzah. And when we say matzah, Zoy Sha'anu Eichem Al Shumma, it was Al Shum, that second matzah. That's what comes out according to the Ran. Now his difficulty, the weak point in the Ran is that he wants to say that there was no Isser Chametz. They didn't have to contend with the Isser Chametz because this was Pesach Mitzrayim. It's different than Pesach Deiros. But the specific difference that he's using is that there's no Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, and that difference it doesn't say in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there's no Tefillah Be'ezoiv and Mashkef and Shnei Mezuzois, and the Mishnah says that the Chimutzeh is only Yemecha, not Shivas Yomim, but the Mishnah does not say that there's no Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. The Ran made that up. Where did he get that from? So I guess, you know, where he got it from probably is that he thought that that's linked together with the Shivas Yamim. That when there's an Isser Shivas Yamim, then there's an Isser Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. When there's no Isser Shivas Yamim, there's no Isser Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. And maybe, without going through the Pesukim of the Chumash very carefully, but that could be because they're written together. In Perek Yud Beis, where it says Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, it says an Isser Chametz of 7 days. In Perek Yud Gimel, it mentions the Nisr Chametz without 7 days. No, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not sure. We he's.
The Mishnah said there was no body.
Why?
No, no. The Mishnah just said that.
The first day.
So the Ran, you're right. The Ran does not have a makar. But what the Ran is saying is that when there's no Isser of 7 days, then there's no Isser of Yerubal by Yematzei.
In the first day.
Right. If there's no Isser Shivas Yomim, then there's no Isser by Yerubal by Yematzei, even when the Chametz is Asr. Because those two dinim are written together in the Torah. And so when you don't have one, you don't have the other. There's a very geschmack of peace in the Tzlach. The Tzlach says that, you know, he likes where the Ran is going, where how the Ran is trying to solve this problem, by saying that because Pesach Mitzrayim was given the Pesach Deiros, so they didn't have the Isser Chametz. Right, it comes up much better than the Pshutei Shel Mikra, that they were really intending to make Chametz because they didn't have to worry about the Isser Chametz because of the different rules of Pesach Mitzrayim versus Pesach Deiros. But the Tzlach says he's not really satisfied with the way the Ran executes it, because he says, oh, there was no Isser Bal Yerubal Yematzei, but it doesn't say that anywhere. So the Tzlach has a very geschmacka adaptation of this Ran. Meaning he has his own twist. He says that the real Teretz is not because the... Because there's no Bal Yerubal by Yematzei. There was a Bal Yerubal. As long as there was an Isser Chametz, there was an Isser Bal Yerubal by Yematzei. But his chap was as follows. It says in the Mishnah that the Isser Chametz by the Pesach Mitzrayim was Yom Echad. One day. So what's that day? So I think that the Parsha Pshat, the way most people assume, is that it means the 15th of Nisan. And the 15th of Nisan starts on, when it gets dark on the 15th. Until the end of, so it's that nighttime followed by the daytime, because the yom is always every calendar day in Judaism goes, the daytime follows the nighttime. It starts with the night and then continues with the daytime. We're familiar with that. That's what we tend to think of it, because that's where we call that a Jewish day. That's a Jewish day in most areas of halacha. Now, we're familiar with halachas negeya to Erechayim, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh. There's some halachas negeya, halachas of days negeya in, in Yerideya, when it comes to Shiva Nekiyim. There's different places where there's the halachas of days that are negeya, and usually the rule of the halacha halacha. But it's not always true. It's not true for Kadshim. By Karbonos, when the Torah says about a Chatas,
nice,
an Asham, and a Toida, that they're Nechal Yom Echad. A Karbon that's Nechal Yom Echad, it means it's Nechal the day that it's brought. It's always brought in the daytime. All Avodah is only done in the daytime. It's Nechal the day that it's brought,
right,
and the following night. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes nicer. Then you can't eat it anymore. Which means that in Kachim, the Laila is Hoylech Achar HaYoyim. I mentioned Chatas and Hashem and a Toida, and of course there's one more very well-known example of a carbon that's only eaten for one day, and that's the carbon Pesach. Carbon Pesach is a little more unique, right? According to one opinion, it's only eaten until Chatzos, but it's brought, and it's also unique because it's not allowed to be eaten in the daytime. So it's a much more unique, right? Like the Mishnah says in Ezum Mekam, in Nechal Balaylev, in Nechal Chatzos. So they're both unique halachas. But it's essentially following, at least approximately, the pattern that we saw by the Chatas, the Asham, and the Toida, that you brought the carbon on your Dalid, and you eat it the night following your Dalid. So the Tzach wants to say that the Chimutza Yom Echad, the Mishnah mentions, means the Yom Echad of the carbon Pesach. In the world of Karbonos, a Yom is a day followed by a night. The Laila is Hilach Achar HaYom. The Isser Chametz was connected to the Karban Pesach. That was their Yom Tov. It was the Yom Tov of the Karban Pesach. So the Yom Echad was the Yom of Yudalid and the night of Tesvav. That's when there was an Isser Chametz. And when that Isser was in effect, there was an Isser by Yerubal by Yematzei also. But when they were baking their bread, when they were intending to make Chametz and ended up becoming matzah, their accidental matzah was already after that. It was already after the Zman of the Karban Pesach. Now, what does that mean it was after? So the simple way to say it would be that means it was ready in the morning. It was ready in the morning, so even the Laila HaTelach HaHayom was all finished, so it was ready in the morning. Now the psukim don't sound like that. The psukim sound like this was in the middle of the night because it says vahibachasei alayla. There was nakas b'chayis, and then the mitzrayim came and they said, "Get out of here." And then it says that the Jews. Then it says the whole story about the bread. So it sounds like it was in the nighttime, which is okay. Also, you could say it was the nighttime according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who holds that this man of the Karban Pesach is only until chatzos, so then his yoim echad. If we're saying that it was the yoim of the Karban Pesach, so it was from chatzos hayoim of Yudal until chatzos halayla of Tesvav. Those 12 hours. That was the Yom of the Karban Pesach. So, according to Rabbi Zazariah, that's when the Yitzchak Hametz was in effect. According to Rabbi Akiva, I guess the Yitzchak Hametz would be in effect until the morning, and then if the Tzlach still wants to say his Shulchan Torah, he'll have to say that this story with the accidental matzah really happened in the morning hours. It was already daylight, but it was the morning of Tesvav. But either way, what he's accomplishing is that while it was still Tesvav, they were already past the Yitzchak Hametz. So mainly were able to make matzah. But essentially, in terms of the... So he's differing with the Ran in the lumdus of exactly how it was that it was mutter for them to bake chametz at that time. But in the telling of the story, it's essentially the same. That they were trying to bake chametz because it wasn't usher for them at that time, but it happened because of the whole hurry that it ended up being matzah. And that's our accidental matzah. And then the matzah, what it sounds like when we read the Haggadah, that it was really accidental that they ended up getting matzah. And that's why we eat the matzah on Pesach, to commemorate that accidental matzah. Of course, you still have the kasha we asked before, but didn't the mitzvah come before this story happened? So for that, we have the rid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded because of the story that was going to happen, because he's a day
Asidais.
Why
doesn't it say the law sulam? What does it say then?
It's food for the
Rav. Also non-chametz? I mean...
The government said the lawyers would have, meaning other, they didn't make any tzeda other than this matzah.
Oh, other than the matzah. That's what
right.
It means?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe what it means to say is that they didn't make any tzeda in advance, uh-huh. So that's why they were hurrying to make something now. Mm-hmm. That's probably the better way to read the pasuk. That the gam tzeda... And it says they baked the bread that they took out into matzahs, not chametz, because they were driven out. They didn't have a chance to wait. Meaning they didn't make any in advance, and so now they were hurrying to make what they could. Okay, but now let's go back to the Ramban. We said the Ramban has a different story. According to the Ramban, they weren't trying to make chametz, they were trying to make matzah. And if the puzzle implies that something happened by accident because they were in such a hurry, the accident was that they baked it in Sukkos rather than Ramses. So our kash on that was, why is that a big deal? Why is that significant enough that we have the mitzvah of matzah to commemorate that? So the Barbanel talks about this Ramban, and he adds a very nice tosafot to the Ramban. The Barbanel says that they were trying to make matzah because they were commanded. Hashem, Moshe, when he told them on Rosh Chodesh, you have to make matzah. Let's put this in a little bit more dramatic terms. Moshe, when he told them on Rosh Chodesh that you're going to see the most amazing things. Hashem is going to strike the Mitzrayim with the biggest matzah they've gotten yet. And then you're going to be taken out of Mitzrayim. And you're going to be delivered from slavery to freedom. All your dreams are going to come true. He's asking one thing in return. That day, there's no chametz. Two things. A carbon pesach, make a seder, and no chametz. Could you do that for him? Yeah, sure. Okay, that's all he wants. We're just not going to make chametz. So we're going to make matzah. So everybody learned the recipe for matzah. And when they got to work that night to make bread for the road, they were intending to make matzah. So they rolled out the dough, and they're going to put it right away into the oven. And then, so this was a major emergency. Their matzah was endangered. Here, they had just rolled the dough. They didn't put it in the oven yet. And in 18 minutes, Shehiya makes it chametz. And now they had to hit the road, because the machine weren't letting them stay even a moment later. And so they thought that their whole... All they were trying to accomplish was going to go down the drain. This was all they were asked for, and they were going to blow it. So they were in this panic. And then somehow, they got from Ramses to Sukkos so quickly, such a chipazoin, that when they got to Sukkos and they put the bread into the dough into the oven, the dough had not yet risen. Mm. Shemen made an ace that they got there so fast, I guess within 18 minutes, mm. from Ramses to Sukkos, which I don't know how far it is actually, but presumably it's a nice long way.
Pizza Sadera.
Right, and they had a kfitzta derech, which is described in the Torah as a chipazoin, and that by the time they got there, they were able to put it into the oven, and it was still matzah. So the fact that, so it wasn't just that they ended up making the matzah over there rather than over here. The chipazoin was the nace that enabled them that their bread should still be matzah when they reached Sukkos. So Zokta Barbanel, now you understand why Hashem commanded in advance. We said before that was like a weak point according to everyone. Why was it commanded in advance? So the Rid said the Torah, it's because Hashem was a day out of sea days. Okay, but why did he commanded the mitzvah when there really was no point in the mitzvah? Because he knew that one day there would be a point. Why didn't he just wait and command the mitzvah after that story happened? I don't know. I don't know why Hashem does what he does, But Zokta Barbanel, according to this, it's very gishmak. The commandment was necessary, even though at the time they had no idea what it was for. Right? Why was this important? But the commandment was necessary for them to bring out for them that something special was happening. If they weren't focused on making matzah, then the fact that the bread hadn't risen when they reached Sukkot would have just been a weird anomaly. Hey, I wonder why the bread didn't rise. But they wouldn't have seen any significance in that. But because they were so focused on making sure that it's only matzah, not chametz, and then that became endangered, and then the chipazoin enabled them to reach Sukkos while it was still matzah, and they were able to bake it as matzah. So then that brought out for them the godless of the nace of the chipazoin. So memela, the matzah is a very fitting zecher to the chipazoin, because it was the nace that enabled them to make matzah, which is what they were trying to do.
The chipazon is not the bread. The chipazon is the kvitzah sederach.
Right, right.
There's so many nisim that happened.
Yeah.
That last year, right before that.
Right. The Esamaka, the year of the Esamaka.
The year of, so why focus on like this hidden?
Yeah.
Hidden,
so we're gonna come to that in a few minutes. Why the chipazon is so significant? Well, you know, why is there so much of a focus on that?
Because that was the mitzvah that was given to them.
Yeah, okay, we're gonna try to add a little bit more to that. All right, but what we have now is, so we have two mahalchim, and now both of them are making, you know, make sense. This Abarbanel adds a lot to the Ramban. According to the Ran, they were really trying to make chametz, but because of the chipazon, it ended up being matzah. According to the Ramban, they were making matzah all along, but then their project of making matzah became endangered, and it was the chipazon that saved it, that enabled them that they should still be able to make the matzah. Now, so that means, just in terms of defining some terms, so we should know what we're talking about when we say the Haggadah, it means that there's two very different meanings of the chipazon. What was the chipazon? Or when we say in the Haggadah, Shlai hispik b'tzeikam l'hachmetz, that it all was so fast so it didn't become chametz. What was so fast? What hurry are we referring to? According to the Ran, it's that they had to leave Mitzrayim so fast. They were going to make. I'm sorry. According to the Ran, right? According to the Ran, they were planning on making chametz, but then they had to leave so fast that the dough didn't have a chance to rise. So the chipazon that we're referring to is the chipazon of leaving, of getting out of Mitzrayim so quickly, before the dough had a chance to rise. According to the Ramban, the chipazon is what you call the kvitzas aderech. It means that they reached Sukkos very fast.
Doesn't the pasuk say the chipazon yatzu le Mitzrayim?
Yeah.
So that's saying that the chipazon is...
That's the Ran, sounds like the Ran?
Yeah, leaving Mitzrayim. Chipazon, they left in a rush. They left Mitzrayim in a rush.
Maybe it means you left traveling fast.
You left moving quickly. Yeah.
I mean, it's no question that the Ram Pshat fits more the
Pshuta
the Pshuta, yeah. Shal Mikra.
Okay.
Didn't they leave in the morning? They didn't leave at night. So right. They had all night long to bake. Unless they were busy packing, I don't know.
What did they have to do with
They left in the morning.
Don't forget, right. They emptied Mitzrayim, right?
Didn't they leave in the morning? Right, right. Yes, I think that's true. So they, okay. So like we said before, when we were saying the tzlach, that the baking could have been in the morning, not at the night. That worked better for the tzlach. But whenever it was in a hurry. So according to the Ran, the chipazayin is really the chipazayin of leaving very quickly. You got like Yanti saying, and that's what it sounds like from the pasuk. Okay, but according to the Ramban, I think the chipazayin, or even if it's not what the word chipazayin refers to, but the lehispik, the quickness that's represented by the matzah was the quickness of their traveling, not of having left in a commotion and very fast. But the quickness of their traveling, that's the quickness that's being represented by the matzah, according to the Ramban. When it says, Lehispik v'sekim l'hachmetz, ad sh'nigla le'em melech ma'achem lechem ha'kadosh baruch hu uga'olam, also, according to the Ran, that means that the ad sh'nigla means until Hashem said, time to go now. According to the Ramban, the ad sh'nigla means until Hashem said, time to camp now. It was the nigla means in Sukkot, when the Anani Akava, it stopped. So the Yidden knew that now it's time to make a camp. That's the nigla. Two different meanings of Ash Nigla Malach Machem Malach Malach Malach. So there's different readings of the paragraph in the Haggadah. But maybe more significantly, there's also, or at least in from a halacha perspective, what was going on here with when their dough was on their backs? And the Ramban says that the whole quickness over here that's represented by the matzah is that the dough didn't turn into chametz because really they were in a situation where a shehiyah should cause chametz, but Hashem got them to sukkah so fast that it didn't become chametz. Meaning, which right, according to the way the halacha is described in some Tefillin and Tess and Shulchan Aruch, that a shehiyah of 18 minutes would make it into chametz. So they got there within 18 minutes, which means that when the dough was on their backs, right, which the pasuk describes mishari some tsurais besimle some al shechmam, that means the dough was wrapped up on their back. That's considered a state of shehiyah, and if that goes on for too long, then that makes it chametz. Mm-hmm. But because that was very quick, so it didn't become chametz. According to the Ran, where was the lehispik v'tzeikam? They rolled the dough, and then they were going to let it, according to the Ran, they wanted to make chametz, right? So they were going to let it rise. They were going to write, how do you bake challah? You let it sit for 2 hours, 3 hours, and then you put it in the oven. So they were planning on letting it sit for 2 hours, 3 hours, and putting it in the oven. But then the Mitzvim said, no, you have to leave right now. So they grabbed it and ran, and it didn't have a chance to sit on their counter in the mixing bowl. Like, that's the step that we're skipping, sitting in the counter on the mixing bowl. So it didn't have a chance to do that for 2-3 hours. Rather, it was on their backs. But so what, it was on their backs, so it should have still become chametz. If when it sits out, it becomes chametz, so they didn't have a chance to let it rise. Why do you need a chance to let it rise? They didn't have a chance yeast? to let it sit on the don't counter. But if they took it and ran,
How does it rise without yeast?
No, yeast helps. That's true. When you're making challah, you'll use yeast. And the matzah, right? So I'm exaggerating when I say they were trying to make challah and then it ended up being matzah. That can't happen. But even without yeast, dough will ferment. It'll leaven. There's chemical reactions that start happening when you mix water and flour. And yeast is a catalyst. Yeast will accelerate that reaction, or sourdough also will accelerate that reaction.
Water and flour makes yeast.
What?
I mean, water and flour makes the yeast for the sourdough. That's the sourdough is from the water and flour.
Okay, and a lot of chemical reactions.
Right, I'm saying that it only goes
through
ingredients.
Yeast is not made from those ingredients. I mean, you could make yeast from wheat, but the yeast.
You take flour, isn't that all the sourdough is made from?
Make a starter.
Yeah, the starter is the yeast and water.
And water.
Yeah.
No, but yeast. It takes a while. The yeast. Okay, I'm not. I don't make sourdough at home. My wife doesn't make sourdough at home. I'm not really familiar with. I'm not familiar with the new fad, but the yeast that you buy in the store is not grain based.
Right,
make yeast out of almost anything.
Right. No, for sourdough, the only two ingredients in sourdough is water and flour.
Okay.
And
did they
ferment over
3 days?
Whatever.
And
that's
yeah.
The starter.
Okay. Did they use
Maim Shalana? I hope so.
Were they told to?
Yeah. The sourdough.
I assume so.
Flour and water.
It has to be overnight.
Yeah.
Where do we get that from?
Let's
different chair.
So according to the Ran, the reason why it was matzah not chametz because they didn't have time to let it rise. Rather, they took it and they flung it over their shoulders and they ran. But I don't understand. If they flung it over their shoulders and ran, so why isn't it rising while it's over their shoulders? So maybe because if it's on a shoulder of somebody who's running, so that's not the same as sitting on a counter. That's called being oisek. Well, there's a big discussion in Rishonim about what kind, when we say that you need to be oisek in the dough to prevent it from becoming chametz, what kind of hesaskus does it need? Does it need, there's really two categories. There's a very intense hesaskus, and then there's more moderate hesaskus. And it seems from Rishonim that the moderate hesaskus, that it's just being touched, moved a little bit, is enough. At least under some circumstances, it depends if it already started to be machmitz, or if you're trying to arrest the process, or if it didn't start yet. But al kapanim, there are these two categories. It seems, according to the Ran, that when the dough was on their shoulders, and they were walking or running, that was considered a state of hesaskus. That's why it was saying the dough didn't have a chance to rise because they had to take it and run with it. So that means that when you're running with the dough, that's called you being oisik in the dough. And then the halacha is that kol zman shemas askin bay afilu kol yem kulei in machmetz. That right, don't tell that to a matzah bakery.
Yeah.
But what it says in Shulchan Aruch is that dough theoretically it could be out all day. You could take all day to make the matzah, as long as you never stop being oisik with it, being misasik, being busy with the matzah, with the dough. I mean, and moving it around, it won't become chametz. It only becomes chametz when you put it down.
But you're not touching it while you're running.
If it's on their shoulders, so when you're running, your shoulders are popping up and down, and that it's not on a smooth, it's not on a still surface. It's on a surface that's like bumping up and down.
Like when you're vulgarizing.
So, but this is the opposite in the Ramban and the Ran. See, according to the Ramban, that the whole nace was that they got there so fast that the shahia shouldn't be 18 minutes. That means that the Ramban holds that the state of being on their shoulders while they're walking is called a shahia. Well, according to the Ran, that the whole reason why it was matzah not chametz is because they had to take it and go right away. That means that, how did that prevent it from becoming chametz? It must be that the state of being on their shoulders while they were going was considered a hesaskus, not a shahia. So there's machlokes, the Ran and the Ramban, about whether that was two opposite states when you're making matzah. There's such a thing as hesaskus and there's such a thing as shahia. And when you're reading the psukim and it says they put the dough on their shoulders, so what was that? According to the Ran, that was a hesaskus. And according to the Ramban, that was a shahia. It's a very fascinating nafkamina that we have that comes out from this machlokes. Okay, so these two mahalchim, it's two really very different tellings of the story. We just pointed out now this halacha dik nafkamina, but there's also the nafkamina in terms of how we define the chipazon or the quickness that's represented by the matzah, and how we define the nigla aleim alachim alachim akadosh baruch hu. But what both of them have in common, let's come back to what Robert was asking before. What both of these two pshatim have in common, any pshat that you're going to say, this you can't get away from, is that the matzah, it's a simen, it's a symbol of geula, of chayrus, but specifically the chipazin aspect of the chayrus. And so what's so special about that? Why are we interested in commemorating the chipazin altogether? If it would have taken longer, if it would have been a slow process, I think a lot of people would prefer that, actually. You know, some people don't handle, get all stressed when they're hurried along, they have to go right now. Maybe it would have been more geschmack if they could have gone slowly. But somehow, in the Torah it's clear, and from the mitzvah of matzah, matzah zeh shel nechem shel ma shel hispik v'tzeichem ad shenigdalem, right? But kigor shem mitzvah v'lo yilachul hisma mea. All this emphasis on the fact that it was a hurry. Why is that meaningful? So the Maral has an explanation. Because there's the midrashic kind of Kabbalistic explanation is Memtes Shari Tuma. It was an emergency because their ruchnistic estate was so precarious that they couldn't really wait even a moment longer. That's one pshat, that's maybe the classic pshat. But the Maral explains it as follows. The Maral, and this is a very, this is a typical Maral in the sense that what the Maral always does is he takes a Maimar Chazal and strips away all of the concrete elements of the story to get at the concepts that are being represented by those elements, and he says that that's really what we're supposed to be learning from here. So Maral says that Yitzis Mitzrayim, on one level, is a political process. It was the slaves coming free, it was a nation becoming independent, it was a social process, right? People who had been slaves, who had been very low down, now got elevated and they became free people. It was, you could describe it as an economic process. You could describe it in a lot of ways that are all part of the Olam HaGashmi, part of the world that we're familiar with, that we study the cause and effect of that world all the time in a lot of different ways. But, of course, we're taught that none of that was the primary description of the story. What was really going on primarily is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have a nation that he could consider his nation, Am Segula V'Goy Kadosh, that through whom his Ratzon in this world could become Mekuyim. The whole purpose of Briyas HaOlam was really so that their Hashem's word be broadcast into the world, and this was the nation through which the Dvar Hashem was going to be broadcast into the world. So it was primarily and essentially a ruchnistic process. So like the Maral, the main difference between the Olam HaRuchni and the Olam HaGashmi is that the Olam HaGashmi exists in time, whereas by the Bayrei, there's no such thing as time. Which is a very, I'll call it a deep concept. Really, what I mean is we're capable of wrapping our heads around it. We can't really think of a world in which things don't happen in time. But there's some affirmation, I'm not sure. I'm going to say this to Ferno. I'm not sure if I'm correct. That says that time is the first bria, and it's tied into the pasuk Bereishis. The first thing that happened was that Hashem created a Reishis. Reishis means first. First, which implies that there's a second. First, which implies that there's an order. The whole idea of order assumes that there's time. If there's time, if there's chronology, so one thing is first, one thing is second, one thing is third. If there is no time, then there is no chronology, then there is no order. Everything is, it's not even, I'll say the word simultaneous, but even the word simultaneous implies that there's time, just everything's happening at the same time. We don't have vocabulary for a world in which there's no time. But if there was no time, then again, simultaneous is just the closest word we have to describe it. If there wouldn't be any concept of something coming before something else. And so the word Reishis means that there's time. So the first thing that Hashem did is he created time. That's the most abstract, least physical of all creation. So it comes first. But creation all... But it's still a nivra. By the Bayrei, there's no such thing as time. But he's a haya haya v'yia, which is not the same as saying that he could see the future. When we think of yedeya asidais, so you might think of a fortune teller who can look into a crystal ball and is if there would be such a thing, and is yedeya asidais. But that's not at all what we and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not that just more with a better accuracy. He's not Yedeya Asidis. That's a misnomer. There is no such thing as Asid or Hoyve or Avar, because there's no such thing as time.
If time is a creation, right?
Maybe Ein Mukdemucher B'Teira is to represent that idea that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world there is no such thing as time, and there's no such thing as Seder.
It's our perspective.
So right, time is our perspective.
But it has to be a creation.
So right, is it time is a nivra in the olam haruchni? There's no such thing as time. If so, the morale says as follows: if HaKadosh Baruch Hu really meant to be doing a spiritual process, it sees Mitzrayim was really primarily a spiritual process, then really it should have happened in a realm that's above time. It shouldn't have happened in the olam of time. But Lamaisa, the Bnei Yisrael, are people of flesh and blood, and they have inhabit planet Earth. And Kol Shekein Paray and the Mitzrayim are flesh and blood, and they inhabit planet Earth. And so it wasn't possible, it isn't possible, for this story to happen outside of the realm of time. But in a certain sense, that's really where it belongs. Mm-hmm. So what it was done in a way that depicts being in the realm of time, but pushing against the edge of it, as if it was struggling to break free from the constraints of time. As if it really belongs in the Olam HaRuchni, but it's just being played out in the Olam HaGashmi. And that's what's represented by the Chipazon. The fact that it happened quickly, in as little time as possible, conveys this idea, it represents this idea that although, yes, it was happening within time, because everything in the Bria has to happen within time, but it was pushing against those boundaries because really it belonged outside of the Bria. Really it belonged in the Olam HaRuchni where there is no time. And that so the idea of the Chipazon is to bring home to us that Yetzias Mitzrayim is primarily a Ruchni Yitzchak process. Not a Gashmi Yitzchak process, but a Ruchni Yitzchak process, and that's why it doesn't really have Shaychus to time. That's the Chipazon. And the Matzah, it's interesting, we say that the Matzah represents that. The Matzah represents the Chipazon. In what way? So what we've been saying all this time is, you know, we started off with what it says in the Haggadah, Al Shum Shlehitz B'Tzeikam, it's to commemorate a Maisa that happened, that Yetzias Mitzrayim happened B'Chipazon, and as a result of that, they ended up with matzah. Let's say the Ran's way, the accidental matzah, or the Ramban's way, that a nace happened about the matzah. And so to commemorate that, we make matzah. But the Ran says, it's much more than a commemoration. The matzah is much more than a commemoration. Matzah, what it is, the actual matzah that we have, even if you don't know any of the story, you don't know this, the Hispik Patekim that we're talking about, the matzah embodies Chipazon. How do you make matzah? What's the difference between matzah and other bread? The quickness. So the matzah represents Chipazon, not just because it reminds us of a story of Chipazon. It's an embodiment of Chipazon. Because that's how you prevent it from becoming chametz. It's by not having shehiyah. It's not allowing it to take too long. That's what makes a matzah. So it's a symbol both in reminding us of the story and also in its essence embodying, in both respects, it's to bring our mind back to the Chipazon, which is to bring our mind back to the fact that Yetzias Mitzrayim is a Ruchni Yitzchak process, not a Gashmi Yitzchak process.
That's why I said, Kachatzai.